Hello and welcome to the newly relaunched Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. We're brought to you by the Department of Corrections Communications Office. My name is Ryan Tarkowski, and I'll be joined by executive producer Kurt Bope and guests from inside and outside of our department. If you follow the DOC on Facebook or Twitter, you've seen Kurt's work before. He's the guy behind the department's social media presence. You can always follow us at CorrectionsPA on both platforms. I know, Kurt, you've worked on various versions of this podcast in the past. Can you talk a little bit about why it's important that we're bringing it back now?
Yeah, so our goal with everything we do on social or with our website is always to give people a glimpse into the tremendous work being done at the Department of Corrections. What we do isn't as visible as some other state agencies out there. It's a little harder for people to know what's going on. So we're always looking for new ways to engage with our audiences and to tell our story.
That's right. And one thing I love about the audio medium, something like a podcast, is it really allows us to connect with folks in a way that might be more comfortable for them than video might be. We do video and stuff too, but the audio medium really allows people to show their passion without having to be on camera. And I think people get a little bit more tense, a little bit harder to really shine through when they're on camera. So we love the audio. We love our DOC employees. They're so committed and so proud of what they do. And we want you to hear from them in their own words. So today we're going to chat with Tim McKinney. He runs the vehicle restoration plant at SCI Forest.
And so January, the reason we're talking with Tim is because January marks the two-year anniversary of the vehicle restoration plant
opening its doors, and the scope done by the incarcerated staff there
might surprise you, all the different projects and different things that they work on and different organizations they work with. But I was actually fortunate enough to attend its grand opening 2 years ago. And when I was there, I was just really impressed with the size and professionalism of the place and of the workers inside of it. So we plan to go back this spring for another in-depth video feature. So for all our listeners out there, be on the lookout on our Facebook page, on our Twitter page. We're going to have a new video just kind of talking with some of the workers there and finding out what their experience has been like now that the place has opened up. Fact is, PCI does incredible work, and it's always really fun to spotlight them whenever we can.
So I heard you call them PCI. PCI stands for Pennsylvania Correctional Industries. We abbreviate it PCI. Sometimes we just do CI for short, Correctional Industries. The Department of Corrections, or the DOC, loves its acronyms. And CI, PCI, Pennsylvania Correctional Industries, however you want to call them, they really do so much for our department and our Commonwealth. I'm sure we'll be hearing from them and their various programs in future episodes of the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. But let's not keep him waiting any longer. Tim McKinney with Correctional Industries Vehicle Restoration Plant. Tim, thanks for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got the job at PCI?
I'm actually an employee of the state of Pennsylvania for the past 17 years. I worked 15 years for the prison system here at SCI Forest. They had a lot of different projects that they had been proposing for our CI building, which stood empty for 15 years. And I kind of integrated myself into a lot of those projects because I knew a lot about the buildings and things around here. I had been in maintenance here for 15 years, a strong maintenance background for the past, we'll say 40 years, and became eligible to become the supervisor as this plant came online. Pretty interesting place, to say the least. So I've been here as a supervisor. Now I'm entering into my second year here as
and
supervisor.
What does the plant do? What is the work that's going on at your plant?
Well, to be honest, we started out refinishing wheels for PennDOT Department of Transportation trucks. That was a small portion as the plant was being put together. It grew into a facility now where we moved on to refurbishing snow plows for PennDOT. And of course, started out as refurbishing, just kind of shot blasting, which is technically a lot of people call it sand blasting, but it's a steel shot and grit blasting booth. We would shot blast, clean up the plows, shot blast them, and then send them into the paint booth for final painting. As we grew into it more, we found that there were a lot of issues and problems with the plows. So we began to do a lot of major repairs on the plows, welding, replacing bushings and pins of that nature. As we approached the winter time last 2 years ago, I got concerned because snow plows will be in use. And I got to thinking about what are we going to do with an inmate crew for the winter if we have no snow plows. Started talking to other entities out there, DCNR, local municipalities and such, about some of the work that they might be able to bring in for these guys to do, which started us into doing lowboy trailers, tag trailers, utility body trucks, front loaders, just about anything that they need to refurbish. We're bringing it into the plant and literally tearing these things apart, cleaning them up, making pieces and parts, welding them back together. It's just an evolution that is going on here, and we don't know where it's going to is inevitably going to go to. We know where we're coming from, but the evolution, we don't know where it's going to end up in the end.
So that's very interesting. When you talk about where you started and where you're going, my mind kind of drifted as you were talking to how did you start from a big empty plant that had sat dormant for a number of years and then get to where you are today? What was that process like? Because it's you're inside a state prison. It's not like you can just pop these things up quickly and easily. What was that process like to set up this whole thing to even get the ball rolling?
Well, in the beginning, they were going to put a laundry in here until they found out that the water needs and the sewage needs of the area would not support us putting a laundry in here. So they kind of set that aside. Pennsylvania Correctional Industries came up with several different ideas for the building over the course of 15 years. Finally, they saw the need to cooperate with PennDOT to start refurbishing some of the PennDOT equipment and started putting a plan together as to what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it. Of course, that started down in Pennsylvania Correctional Industries down in Harrisburg as they planned what they wanted to do and then came and actually formulated how they could conform the building to a process that would work in this facility. That actually started in roughly 4 years ago, and I came into the picture as the planning was beginning and watched as they were talking about what they wanted to do and put my 2 cents worth into as to what could help make it happen.
So you talked a little bit about your customers. You talked about PennDOT and DCNR and some of the other Commonwealth agencies that avail themselves of the services that you and your team provide. What is the benefit of working with CI, working with the inmate workers for these agencies and for the Commonwealth?
There's a twofold benefit to this whole program. Initially, what a lot of people look at is the dollar figure. And when you look at local municipalities, you look at PennDOT, you look at Turnpike Commission, you look at all these different entities, which are technically nonprofit organizations. They have a specific budget that they have to work with. And of course, as we all know, budgets get cut, money comes short, and it becomes a benefit to them in a cost-saving measure, which, you know, is great for them. But the twofold is the inmate population that is doing this work is getting an education beyond compare, getting something that's tangible that they can walk out the doors of this prison when they parole or when they max out and go to a very high-paying, quality job with skills that they have learned while they're in here working. So it's twofold. PennDOT, as an example, and I can throw a few dollar figures out. As an example, this year, I know that their new purchase budget got cut massively. So they're looking to do what repairs they can. If they have to purchase a new plow, prices start in the $15,000 to $20,000 range, roughly. We can bring in an old, what they would consider junk plow, tear it completely apart, reface it, repaint it, rebush it, and send it out of here for $2,500. So it's a significant savings for them and a massive education for the inmate population.
Now, I think a lot of times, of us in government, we get a reputation that we don't talk with each other, or there's a lot of red tape, or things don't move as quickly as they should. What was the process like to get PennDOT on board to kind of be your first big customers at the new plant at CI?
Director Gall and Assistant Director Gall and Director Conte had got together with PennDOT that if we put this facility together, that they would help with supplying product for us. So that was a conversation that, was long before I was brought on board.
So even before the plant SCI Forest went into operation, these discussions were happening to kind of build the program around the needs of the Commonwealth.
Correct. Yes. I mean, build a relationship, a working relationship. The maintenance manager for PennDOT, Michael Martin, Dennis Kuser, Justin Mickey, Daniel Shy, they've all been an integral part of working with PCI and myself at keeping things rocking and rolling here for SCI Forest and our PCI plant. One of the things that I do want to mention that a lot of people don't know, and of course, I did not know this until I got fully involved with Pennsylvania Correctional Industries. We are technically a subcontractor working within the confines of SCI Forest and in the prison system, but we self-generate our funds. Taxpayer dollars do not directly pay our facility and our wages and such. We make the product that we turn out has to pay all of our bills and our utilities and such, all of our wages. So it's not a taxpayer drain like some people seem to think.
No, and it's twofold. Not only are you providing the service to your customers, but you're also providing some of those skills that you talked about to your inmate workers that are really learning these in-demand skills, because you hear so much these days about labor shortages and skills gap that employers can't find employees with the relevant skills that they need. And that's kind of what you're teaching them, correct? Do your inmate staff, do they usually walk in with all the skills they need, or is there some kind of on-the-job training?
We have a multitude of different talents, we'll say, in the inmate worker population. And I prefer not to call them inmates when they're working. They're my workers. And some of them come in with no knowledge of anything. They've never turned a screwdriver in their lives. Others come in with some background, some knowledge, and we apply their skills to what they know, and we help to work amongst each other to teach each other these skills. We'll say class one inmate that walks through the door that's never turned a screwdriver in his life will end up learning how to pressure wash with a 3000 PSI pressure washer, how to shot blast in the shot blast booth, wearing all the proper PPE and everything to protect him from what's going on in there. He'll learn how to fabricate. He'll learn how to weld, as long as he's amicable to learning. And let's face it, not everybody becomes proficient in everything, but every one of them has that opportunity to learn. And then, of course, the paint booth. Some people were good at laying a coat of paint on things, and others aren't as good at it. But once again, they all have that opportunity to learn. And amongst it all, everyone that comes through our door has the opportunity to go into the welding classroom and learn specific techniques on how to weld and whatever. Some guys really need it and can use it, and others have already had experience out in industry and they don't need that, so we don't put them through that. But they all have the same opportunities when they walk through our doors.
So one of the reasons that we kind of relaunched this podcast was because in our industry, it's hard for people to get a glimpse of what goes on behind the facility walls. And they may be surprised of some of the things that are going on, like the work that you and your team do. Can you tell me what was one of your biggest surprises working with the staff that you work with? What might people not understand without being able to be in your shoes every day?
Well, number one, the general public has a misconception of what goes on inside a prison. And, you know, I came in here, we'll say later in life at age 45, and I had the same presence of mind that a lot of people did, that all bad people go to prison. And let me tell you, I have 35 guys working in this shop out here, and there's not a one of them I would class as a bad person. They come in here because they made a mistake, and they're in here to end up paying for their mistake as an inmate, but taking advantage of this program, like a lot of them have. They've shown me that they're quality people, willing to learn. One in particular who sat with me the other day extolling how he came from a bad situation. And when he leaves here in the next 4 to 5 years, he doesn't want to go back to that. He wants to stay in Pennsylvania and possibly get a job as a welder here in Pennsylvania, so he doesn't have to go back into that realm that he was in. So one of the biggest shocks to me is having somebody like that walk up to me and be very proud of the process that we're doing and the things that he is learning, that he pretty much said he never had the opportunity to learn when he was outside of this prison.
Do you ever have an opportunity to talk to potential employers and kind of share your stories with them, or maybe this is the time to do it? If you had something to say to potential employers that are looking for the help, but maybe leery of hiring somebody that has spent time in a state correctional institution, what would you tell them?
Well, in all honesty, right down the road from this facility is a place called CarMate, who makes trailers. And I personally know one of the owners of CarMate, and he and I have discussed, then he said to extol that any of these guys that are coming out of here with this experience, he would be more than willing to hire them and take them on. They're always looking for quality welders and such. So that's one in particular. But yes, I do talk a lot to the community and such, letting them know that, you know, there are some really high quality people coming out of here with some high quality skills when they leave. I mean, I do my best to portray things like you say, they can't see what's going on here, but I do all the local municipalities, PennDOT, Turnpike Commission, we have opened it up that anytime they want to come in and take a tour of this facility and see what we're doing and see what we can do for them, we get them cleared and we bring them in so that they can take it back out to the community and spread the word.
That's very interesting, kind of breaking some of those misconceptions that might be out there. Were there any misconceptions among the security staff or other staff at SCI Force, or even among the inmate population when you launched your program 2 years ago?
Oh, inside the prison, there's always little misconceptions of what's going on, and realizing that this is a metal fabrication shop in here where we are cutting and bending. And of course, they, at one point in time, I've heard the comment that we were creating a shank shop in here. But security and administration has worked tightly with making this a situation where not a single piece of metal will walk out our door with an inmate to be used as a weapon. And so there's a lot of little things that you'll hear about what's going on here. But all in all, the inmate population, we keep trying to get the word out to them as to what we're doing and how we're doing it to gain more interest to grow the worker population that we have in here. And it's a tough process because they have their own communities inside the prison here. So it requires my workers to actually go out and talk amongst their peers in that community and tell them what's going on and the opportunities that they can have to come in here and learn.
Are there any specific certifications they walk away with?
From us, we can certify them on our IMI wheel refinishing equipment, which there are a lot of wheel companies out there that operate the same powder coating facility that we're running in here on the wheels. Other than that, I have not come up with any other certifications that I can give them. But out of the welding class, they walk out with the NCCR pre-certification, so they can go and show somebody that, hey, I do know how to weld. And of course, when you show up in any job site as a welder, you will take their test and prove to them that you know how to weld. But yes, they will be certified in welding and in wheel refinishing.
Once again, we're talking with Tim McKinney. He works in the vehicle restoration plant at SEI 4 as part of Pennsylvania Correctional Industries. Now, Tim, one of the reasons that we're talking to you today is because it's the two-year anniversary of your plant at SEI Forest, and I'm looking at the calendar, and that would put your ribbon cutting at like January 2020, and we all know what happened in March 2020. So what has it been like? How has COVID shifted your plans? How have you adapted? How has COVID affected what you do at SEI Forest?
It's had a major effect, you know, initially with COVID running rampant and inmate populations being susceptible to it being brought into them. We had to curtail some of our operations, slow things down a little bit for a while as far as the workers being able to complete a lot of our deadlines and work. One of our biggest problems, though, isn't so much the worker population any longer. It is supply chain issues. It is getting pieces and parts, nuts, bolts, and screws that we need. For whatever reason, COVID has put the slowdown to a lot of that because there's a lot of companies out there that are unable to keep up their production for us. That's been
so you're not important. Immune. It's a lot of same that we that it's a lot of the same things that we're seeing out in the community, right? Supply chain issues, trouble getting your orders filled, that sort of thing.
Yes, you put in an order for 1,000 nuts, bolts, screws, washers, and such, and you get a bag of washers because that's all they had.
I think it's a good reminder that what goes on inside the prisons is impacted in a large way by what goes on outside the prisons when it comes to COVID and just anything else, because our SCIs really are part of the communities in which they reside.
Yes. Yes, they are.
So you've been at it for 2 years now. What's next? What's new on the horizon? What are you looking forward to in the next 2 years or beyond?
Well, several of the districts with PennDOT have started a program with their plows where they are going to send them in, you know, one third of their plows last year, one third of their plows this next year, another third of their plows the year after, and then continue the rotation again so that their snow plows keep in tip-top shape to cut back on their new purchases that they have to do. The other thing that's happening is we've got involved with the Turnpike Commission. We just finished one of their very massive tow plows that they use on the turnpike. It was quite a project to tear down, refurbish, and put back together again. We also have one of their tag trailers. So we're starting to move into the Turnpike Commission now too. Local municipalities, Forest County, Tyonesta Borough, sent some equipment in for us to do for them. Jenks Township, our local township right here where the prison is situated, has sent products in for us to refurbish and such for them. DCNR, the doors have been opened to DCNR, and we have one of their pieces of equipment in here right now. We've already refurbished several trailers for them, and now we have a dump truck for Cooks Forest DCNR in here, and we're looking to open more of those doors and get more of these entities to start bringing equipment and things in that they need to have refurbished.
Now, I hear you talking a lot about municipal and state government agencies. That is one thing to note, that you correctional industries is restricted on who they can service, correct? Local mom and pop shop off the street can't avail themselves of your services.
Yes,
at this time.
It's strictly what's considered nonprofit organizations, state entities and agencies and such. Yeah, I can't bring my personal vehicle in and get it refurbished here. It would be nice, but you know, I understand the restrictions and such.
So we talked about how employers might be interested in hiring the workers that are learning the skills in your shop. If there was a member of the community that's listening to this that wanted just to support what you and your team are doing at SCI Forest, is there a way that they can chip in or help out? What would you need from the community?
At this point in time, there really hasn't been anything set up for them other than if they would contact me here at SCI Forest. I would be willing to extol the virtues of who we have here and what can be done. And as we move forward, it would be nice to build a portfolio of different, because a lot of these guys are from different parts of Pennsylvania, not just the Pittsburgh or Northwestern region. So it would be nice to build a portfolio of people that would be interested in hiring that they could send applications to and such, and use this as their references.
Is there anything that we missed that you want to let people know about as part of your program?
I sit here, and in all honesty, as I talk about what is being done in here, it excites me. I'm exhilarated to come to work every day and see what these people that a lot of the communities have cast aside because they're quote unquote inmates, see what they can do. It's mind blowing to watch somebody, like I say, that has never turned a screwdriver in their life, come in and put a welding helmet on and lay a bead of weld that, wow, you know, you would think only a highly experienced welder would do. It's just exciting to come in every day and see.
Well, we appreciate what you do for SCI Forest and for the community. Tim McKinney, Vehicle Restoration Plant at SCI Forest, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for highlighting it.
All right, that was great. We really enjoyed our time talking with Tim and learning about his shop. You can really tell how passionate he is about his work and the work done by his staff. That'll do it for our first episode. Thank you for listening to the relaunch of the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast, a production of the Department of Corrections Communications Office. For producer Kurt Bope, I'm Ryan Tarkowski, and we hope you'll join us for future episodes. For more information on the DOC, always follow us on Facebook and Twitter, @CorrectionsPA, and check out our website, cor.pa.gov. Until next time.